In Washington state, there's news this week that free on-street parking for some disabled drivers could soon be history. A report delivered to state lawmakers recommends new limits because of widespread abuse of the system. The legislature is expected to take up the issue as soon as next month. The rights of disabled people may not be an issue that resonates with you personally, but it does resonate with author Susan Nussbaum. She's been in a wheelchair ever since an accident in the late 1970s. And her latest book can tell you a lot about what that really means. It's a novel called Good Kings, Bad Kings, which she sets in the fictional Illinois Learning and Life Skills Center. That's a residential center for mentally and physically disabled young people in Chicago. Susan tells the story through the voices of staff members, as well as a number of the residents, most of whom don't want to be there. For example, Jesenia Lopez, who ends up in the center after spending time in juvenile hall for attacking another girl.
They got the most stupidest rules in here that I ever heard of. First one is, you got to pass a test to get on the elevator by yourself. Excuse me? I think I know how to take an elevator. What I'm supposed to do? Fly down the stairs? Did somebody not notice I am challenged? But they still make me take their stupid test, and now I can take the elevator all by my little crippled self.
Author Susan Nussbaum reading from her book Good Kings, Bad Kings. The book won the 2012 Penn Bellwether Prize for Socially Engaged Fiction, and Susan Nussbaum is with us now from WBEZ in Chicago to talk about it. Susan, welcome.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
And I know you get this question a lot, and you even talk about it at the end of the book, but what is the best way for people to refer to people with disabilities?
It's not that I get the question a lot. It's that it's a work in progress, this whole vocabulary thing. But I would say disabled.
You'd say disabled, although that's not what you call each other, it sounds like.
Well, some of us, especially people that have been in the disability rights movement in the very early days of the disability rights movement, when it was just, you know, taking its first baby steps, will refer to each other as Crips. But that's not necessarily the way a lot of disabled people talk to each other. It's sort of a really small grouping of us.
Well, we just heard you read one bit of the book in the character of Jesenia Lopez. But you tell the story from the points of view of young people at the center, people who work there, a woman who works as a recruiter for the company that runs the center, all with their own styles of speaking. And I wonder how you did that, how you had all of these voices that you were able to translate into the book.
I think a lot of that is because having been a disability rights activist for many years, I am naturally just around a real melting pot. And, you know, I have people in my family who are from various kinds of backgrounds. So,
and the character Joanne in the book is modeled after you, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I stole from myself a lot. You know, her life isn't like my life. And what happens to her in the story is not my story, but I definitely stole a lot from my own life because I gave this character my disability. That way I could use all sorts of details that nobody would know unless I put it in a voice of this woman who's very frank when she talks.
Well, and I want to read you a little bit of what Joanne says. She says, take the dentist, for instance. It's bad enough to have to go to the dentist, but imagine having to ask him to help lift you out of your wheelchair and into the dentist's chair. I mean, really, inevitably, one of your shoes falls off during the process and your clothes get all smashed up, and then you get two or three hygienists in there apologizing way more than is necessary. Now all I have to do is tilt and cringe. This is just one thing that I think a lot of people who are not disabled would never even think about what you'd have to go through.
I love tilting. It's this relatively newish technology that they added to wheelchairs, power wheelchairs, which otherwise sort of function like giant can openers, and they're about as attractive. But they allow you to get into various different positions in your chair, and it's just a lot more comfy all day long if you're a person who uses a chair.
Well, and this book comes out of your own experience. As you say, you were hit by a car at the age of 24, and after 7 months of treatment, you were healthy, but in a wheelchair. How many things did you have to learn how to do? And how difficult was it to adjust to all of the things that you'd have to do that you never had to do before?
Yeah, it was very tough. And it was tough in an emotional way as well as a practical way. But I think where it was very challenging in terms of just learning how to redo things with a different body is just in the way that the environment around me was built for non-disabled people, or people at least who are not wheelchair users like me. But in an emotional way, if you're a person that becomes disabled suddenly later in your life, you associate disability with so much of the really negative, ridiculously wrong-headed kinds of imagery that surrounds disability, that it feels as if you should be ashamed that you do things differently now.
We're speaking with author and disability rights activist Susan Nussbaum, and this is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and let's get back to our conversation with author and disability rights activist Susan Nussbaum. Her award-winning book, Good Kings, Bad Kings, was recently released in paperback. It tells the story of young people with physical and mental disabilities who live in a residential learning center in Chicago. The center is run down. Some of the staff physically abuse the patients. But despite the conditions, the young people still manage to live vibrant, active lives. And Susan Nussbaum, before the break, you were talking about when you became disabled back in the 1970s. You said you were driven crazy by some of the negative imagery that surrounds disability. Can you explain what you mean by that?
I remember laying in the hospital and trying to rack my brain thinking about, what do I know about disabled people so that I can be one effectively? And the only disabled people I really knew were characters I had read in books or seen in movies, and they were all either incredibly inspirational or heroic, or they were, you know, horrible villains because they were so terribly bitter about their disabilities or something like that, or they were begging people to kill them. I mean, there were not very good choices available to me, and I despaired because what I knew had nothing about it that resembled my life before. And what I found to be the truth when I sort of had a chance to breathe after all of the smoke cleared, you know, was that not that much had changed for me.
How did your relationships change?
I don't know that they did. Maybe they were strengthened, as I think something that cataclysmic will make happen with people you're close to anyway. But still, it does let you know who your safety net is. And it's nice to have one. I also understood for the first time that a very big part of my safety net was going to be other disabled people, particularly disability rights activists.
You write in this book about love between two characters in particular, Joanne and Ricky. I wonder how that is different, if at all. Is that just a universal feeling that there's no difference in two people falling in love when they're disabled versus two people falling in love when they're not disabled, or one and one?
I think for disabled people and for the people they're in relationships with, there is no difference whatsoever. And having been both in my life, non-disabled and disabled, I can tell you there's no difference. But I think to the rest of the world, it looks very odd. I think part of that, too, is because of the cultural imagery out there, because disabled people are never represented in books or movies or television as being in the least bit sexual. It's really offensive to me.
Well, and you go there in this book.
Yes, I do, on purpose. I thought it was right for the characters, of course, but I also knew when I wrote this, as long as I had no idea what would ever happen with the book, of course, or whether or not anyone other than my family and friends would read it. But I knew that there was stuff I was going to entertain myself by writing that was the kind of thing that I wanted to see. So, of course, I said it in the most bleakest imaginable place. But that aside, I knew I wanted to see characters that were different than anything that I was able to see anywhere else culturally. Disabled characters that were recognizable as human beings.
Well, you say bleak. Let's talk about the fictional Illinois Learning and Life Skills Center, which has every abuse you can think of. It's understaffed. The children are over-medicated and over-tested. Is that based on something real?
Oh, yes. It's based on a great deal of research and a number of interviews with people who have lived in institutions. In fact, I didn't include much of the horrible things that I found in my research only because I didn't think anyone would believe it. But obviously people didn't believe it anyway. No, I agree, though. It is, I did need to touch on some of the ways that an institution like that can be very dangerous for your health.
Well, and of course, it's not all bleak. There is a lot of humor, a lot of joking from the characters in your book. Did you think that was an important thing to put in?
Yeah, people are not thinking. The characters are not caught up in, oh, I'm disabled, what am I going to do, 24/7. It barely enters their conversation or their minds because what they're doing is living their lives like everyone, and they know they're disabled, so why are they thinking about it? You know, it's a no-brainer. It just doesn't happen, I can tell you. I barely ever think about mine, ever. But I do think that these characters, some of them happen to be naturally very funny. And sometimes they're very funny without even knowing it. So, yeah, that was a big part of the book. And I think it also helps to provide a little comic relief every few paragraphs or so.
Do you think things have gotten better for the disabled over the time that you have been disabled?
I think they've gotten better mostly for more privileged disabled people in the sense that there are more opportunities. There is more consciousness about what disabled people's rights are. And there are rights, after all, that's new. But I think for people who are economically oppressed and disabled, it is worse than it's ever been. It's just very tough to survive. And so many people are getting pushed into nursing home scenarios because it's impossible to get the funding from the state that one used to be able to get to really, you know, make you independent in the community. People need a little help, and it's ironically tremendously cheaper than it is to a taxpayer who's supporting all these people in nursing homes.
Well, if there's somebody in Washington who's listening to this, what would you like them to do?
Oh, well, you know, I think it's deeply systemic, and I'm not sure that Washington is, or anyone in Washington, is equipped to even begin to understand what a systemic change would mean. They're barely able to take a vote.
Well, it's a great book. It's called Good Kings, Bad Kings. Susan Nussbaum is the author. Susan, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Are you in a wheelchair? What would you like to see change when it comes to the rights of disabled people in this country? Let us know at hereandnow.org. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Brilliant Earth, committed to environmental and social responsibility with conflict-free diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, and other fine jewelry, online at brilliantearth.com. And Lumosity.com, dedicated to improving memory and attention with neuroscience-based games for the brain, at Lumosity.com.